Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, presents...
Certain Time!
The makers of Snickers welcome you to Curtain Time. The lobby is buzzing again with excitement, and here among the most eager to see the new play is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, what awaits us tonight?
A very exciting romantic comedy, Mike. But there's the overture, so we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Ticket, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center, seat 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, now that we're settled comfortably, let's look through the program. Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, supported by the Curtain Time players, are starred tonight in Readin', Writin', and Romance by Sidney Renthal. Mr. Elders is cast as Dixon Crane, and Miss Sargent plays the role of Jane Rivers.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of Readin', Writin', and Romance. Well, it's late at night, somewhere along a dirt road in Pennsylvania. A large, expensive car speeds through the darkness. At the wheel, a young man peers desperately ahead. Beside him, tense, sits a beautiful young woman.
Dick, please, don't go.
Oh,
so
good
fast.
Heavens. Duck, Margo, duck!
Oh, Margo, what happened?
The road turned. You didn't.
Yeah. I was looking for some sign of life. Oh!
Are you hurt, my pet? Or is that asking too much?
Oh, my left leg's numb, but otherwise I'm feeling fine.
Oh, move over. I'll start the car.
Yeah, that's what you think. There's an elm tree where the front axle used to be.
Just lovely. We're lost, the car's wrecked, and you can't walk. Now what do we do?
Well, that last gas station we passed was about 30 miles back. We should be able to make it in, say, 3 hours at a dog trot.
I'll sit here and rock first.
Look, Margot, I told you that... Hey, look there, through the woods. There's a light.
You're probably seeing things.
No, I'm not. Come on.
See here, Dix, if you think I'm going to carry
you... Give me a hand, March. I'll get there somehow. Knock again.
But I... Oh, all right. Yeah, who is it?
We had an accident on the road. Is there a telephone here we can use?
An accident? Our car climbed a tree a few minutes ago.
And if I could just use your phone.
You mean you were driving through the woods on the creek road?
Yes, but...
Where were you going?
To New York. But look, all we want is to call a garage.
But if you were going to New York, that road only goes to Jim Beasley's mill. Where are you from?
We're from California, and this is urgent.
From California?
Yes, and
then what were you doing on the old creek road? It's closed for repairs.
But we were lost. We were trying to get back to the main highway, and if there's a telephone here...
Who is it, Jay?
A couple of strange people from California, Aunt Abby, who want to use the telephone.
Oh, well, we're not letting any strangers in this time of night.
I'll have you know I'm Margot Merrick.
Oh? Doesn't that tell you anything? Why, it tells us your name.
Oh, honestly, why, I could walk into any mud hut in Madagascar and the natives would know me.
Surely you people go to the movies, don't you?
Oh, of course we do. And I still laugh every time I think of the last picture I saw.
Oh, well, perhaps I was in it. You?
Oh, no, not you, young lady.
Well, what was the last picture you saw?
Charlie Chaplin in Shoulder Arms.
Oh.
It was very good, too. I'm going again sometime.
Oh, Margo, it's only about 30 miles back to that gas station.
And are you in the movie?
Right now, I'm in pain. For all I know, I may be standing here with a broken leg.
Oh, dear. Why didn't you say you were hurt?
Oh, with me, I should say so.
Well, thanks.
Better get hold of him. He's getting weaker.
Hurry, Jane.
Yes, I'll get Doc Slocum right away.
Hello? Yes, I'm calling Hollywood. Oh, is that you, Max? This is Dixon Crane again. Did you find B.J.? Well, find him. It's important. Okay, I'll call you back. Oh, hello there, Miss Rivers. Anything wrong?
Mr. Crane, you came here a week ago to use the telephone.
That's right. Time certainly flies, isn't it?
Mr. Crane, I realize you're a famous motion picture director, but when are you leaving?
Well, now you're almost making me feel unwelcome here.
Mr. Crane, I just got this telephone bill.
Mm-hmm.
It amounts to $833.
Well, isn't your credit good?
But this bill is for calls to New York, London, Hollywood.
Are you suggesting that I might run out on a ridiculous little telephone bill?
All I know is that Mr. Trumbull, who manages the telephone company here, is very anxious to get this paid right away.
Mm-hmm. Well, you tell Mr. Trumbull to go climb a telephone pole. All bills for which I'm responsible will be paid by Worldwide Films in proper time.
All bills?
Yes.
Are there others?
There will be.
Oh, dear.
Apparently, your aunt didn't tell you that we're making a movie around here and that we're going to use this house.
A movie?
Yes, an epic of the American Revolution. That's why I was driving around this part of the country.
And you're going to do it here?
Well, most of it we shot on location using actual historical settings.
And you want to use this house?
It's exactly what I was looking for. Why, it must be 200 years old.
211, to be exact.
Your aunt also tells me, Miss Rivers, that George Washington once slept here.
What's more important right now, Mr. Crane, is that we sleep here.
Oh, that's all right. You can go right on living upstairs. You won't be in our way.
Mr. Crane, my aunt may have agreed to all this, but she's past 70, and she sometimes overlooks little details.
Well?
I own this house.
Oh, I get it. Okay, I offered her $500. I'll make it $1,000.
But I want you to get out of here.
I'll make it $2,000, Miss Jesse James. Our Long Island studios have already sent out camera equipment, sound truck.
If they set foot on this property, I'll... Did you say $2,000?
Yeah. Your aunt tells me that you're a school teacher.
Well, that's true, but...
Then you undoubtedly need money.
Oh, I do, but... Well, this is against my better judgment, but for $2,000...
It's a deal?
Yes, it's a deal.
All right, we'll shoot from the platform.
Mr. Crane, will you please stop those men, Nick?
Quiet, please. And Margot.
Yes?
Try to put a little terror into that scream, will you?
Mr. Crane, those men.
Which men?
Those men, they're painting the house.
What's the matter with that, Miss Rivers? It won't cost you a cent.
But that color is hideous. You're defacing the house inside and out.
I'm sorry, but we've got to use that color paint so the house will photograph.
You stop those men immediately.
Sure, now, hold on. We reserve the right to decide all matters regarding photography.
You reserve the right
to... You obviously didn't read our agreement very carefully.
Why, the book? You see here, Mr. Crane, speaking of our agreement...
Miss Rivers, I'm very busy. And
I wish to remind you that I haven't been paid one penny for the use of my house. And the telephone bill isn't paid either.
But I told you that...
What's that hammering?
It's probably the carpenters.
The carpenters?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Working on the living room wall.
What are they doing to the living room wall?
They're removing it.
Oh, dear.
They couldn't dolly back for a high-angle shot because that east wall was too close.
And so you're tearing it up.
What else could we do?
That wall, Mr. Crane, has been standing there for 211 years.
I know, and it's that kind of argument that always stands in the way of progress.
But that wall is a bearing partition.
No kidding. What is it there?
The whole east wing of the house.
I'm afraid you're getting unduly alarmed.
But I...
Look, if there were any danger of part of the house collapsing, I'd be the last person in the world to tear that wall out.
But, Mr. Crane, we were going to do some remodeling a few years ago, and an architect told us not to touch that wall.
Well, he was probably some local comedian who didn't know what he was talking about.
But... Oh, dear!
Hey, what's that?
It's the house! It's collapsed!
Miss Rivers!
Oh,
good grief, she's collapsed, too!
The curtain falls on the first act of tonight's Curtain Time Play, starring Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent. And now, Myron Wallace.
Year after year, there are people who taste a Snickers candy bar for the first time and discover a truly thrilling candy treat. For each bite of a Snickers bar is rich with a rare flavor combination. A thick milk chocolate coating,
A golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel packed with crisp, whole roasted peanuts. And a soft nougat center that is richly flavored with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. Together, the milk chocolate, smooth caramel, crisp peanuts, and soft nougat combine to give you that rare taste blend you'll find only in Snickers. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers.
There's the call to the second act of Reason, Writing, and Romance, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. When Jane Rivers, the young schoolteacher, agreed to let Dixon Crane direct a movie in her old Pennsylvania farmhouse, she didn't expect he'd take out the living room wall. But he did, and the house collapsed. Nor has he paid her for the use of the house or the telephone. Well, it's now the next day. Jane sits nervously in the office of Ichabod Stackpole, president of the local bank.
Jane, some people in this town think having a movie made around here is a good thing, that it brings in tourist business and makes jobs for local workmen.
And?
I don't agree.
Yes, I suppose we could get the same results if we were hit by a tornado.
Precisely. And when I heard that you turned your house over to those movie people, I was shocked.
But, Mrs. Stackpole, they offered me...
I always looked on you as a level-headed young woman.
Well, I always thought so, too, Mrs. Stackpole. But when...
Surely you must be familiar with the mortgage on your property.
Oh, I am, and...
It states explicitly that you have no right to wreck, demolish, dismantle, or otherwise destroy the house without the consent of the bank.
Oh, but there wasn't time to discuss it with you. Not after the house started caving in.
Just the same. Under the terms of the mortgage, the bank has the right to call in within 10 days the balance of $6,862.
$6,862?
And 12 cents.
Within 10 days?
Correct. Or, in view of the extensive damage, we'll be forced not only to foreclose on what's left of the property, but also to bring charges of vandalism against you.
Oh, dear. Vandalism. Days, Mr. Crane. 10 days.
Don't worry, Miss Rivers. All damage will be paid for. Okay, let's shoot that again.
But, Mr. Crane...
Margot.
What is it now?
Look, dear, you see him. After 2 years of war, he's in bad shape.
I know that.
All right, then don't act as though he's just come home from a poker game.
Mr. Crane, in 10 days, I'm going to lose my house. I'll also lose my job. I may even go to jail and...
Please, Miss Rivers.
Did you read what Horace Mott said in the local paper?
Okay, who's Horace Mott?
He's head of the State Historical Society, and he's also on the school board. Would you like to know what he said?
Some other time, Miss Rivers. All right, Margot, take it from there.
He said, this is a public outrage. The State Historical Society is shocked. Legally, the house may belong to Miss Rivers, but morally, she has no right to wreck this landmark in our glorious history.
I told you not to worry. Hey, move that boom closer.
He also said the scandalous association of a school teacher with these motion picture people, about whom there is such widespread talk, should leave the school board no alternative but to ask for her resignation at once.
What's that about widespread talk? Widespread talk about what?
About the wild party here the night before last. Or the whole...
The night before last, we were shooting that wedding scene.
Well, it kept my neighbors awake half the night. Did you have to work until 3 o'clock in the morning?
Of course I did. I'm 2 days behind schedule.
Mr. Crane, because of you, I'm losing my house, my job, and my reputation. I may even go to jail. And the telephone bill, which now amounts to more than $1,400...
That will be paid as soon as I find B.J. Osterman.
And who is B.J. Osterman?
He's head of Worldwide Films. No bills can be paid without his okay.
Well, where is he?
Oh, that's just the point, Miss Rivers. He's disappeared. Hello? Yes, I'm calling Hollywood. Hello, Max. Max, did you find B.J.? Oh, but his secretary swears she saw him get on the plane for London a week ago. Don't be silly. He couldn't have fallen off. Did you try Scotland Yard? Well, try them. Try the French Sûreté. Try the secret police in Budapest. How would I know what he's doing in Budapest?
Oh, so help me, those idiots.
Why, hello.
Were you calling Hollywood again?
Yes, I was. How do you expect me to find Archibald if I don't use your phone?
Do you know something?
Oh, sometimes I wonder.
I'm beginning to think there's no such person as D.J. Osterman.
So am I, and I've worked for him for 3 years.
Mr. Crane, I talked to my lawyer this morning, and he advises me to sue Worldwide Film for $50,000.
For $50,000?
Plus costs.
Oh, now, wait. If you'll just be patient...
According to my lawyer, in a similar case, Van Orkney versus Sullivan, 187, Maryland, damages were awarded amounting to...
I'll get it.
I'm sure it's for you.
Hello? Oh, hello, Max. What? You found him? Great.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Of course. No, I won't breathe a word of it.
Did they find Mr. Osterman's body?
No, everything's fine. We'll settle this whole thing in a few days.
But you've been saying that for 2 weeks. Where is Mr. Osterman?
Now, if you'll just sit tight...
Very well. As I was saying, in the case of Van Orkney versus Sullivan, the damages amounted to...
Do you realize that every time we talk to each other, it's always about money?
Yes. Since I met you, the subject has become an obsession.
All right, then. Let's have dinner together.
Dinner?
Yes. Then at least we can discuss the subject in a friendlier atmosphere.
According to my lawyer...
Well, this is a nice place for a roadside inn.
If you want to reach a settlement out of court, Mr. Crane...
Gee, that view over the valley takes your breath away.
In the case of Van Orkney versus Sullivan...
Listen.
What?
Now, this is strictly between us.
But I don't understand.
B.J. was in a private sanitarium. He had a nervous breakdown because of financial worries.
Well, how nice that he can afford it. I wish I could.
Well, frankly, I was getting a little worried myself.
You mean that Worldwide Films is just a fly-by-night outfit?
Hardly. But Worldwide lost a lot of money on its last two pictures. But then when B.J. signed a big star like Margot Merrick, his New York backers seemed happy again.
Do you mean that all that holds Worldwide Films together is Miss Merrick's charm?
Look. Millions of people who don't know their congressman's name can tell you what size shoe Margot wears.
We came here to discuss a lawsuit.
Sure we did, but don't you think it would be more fun to dance, Jane? I'll put another nickel in the jukebox. Well, here we are.
Six. I've told you I'm willing to settle out of court, but...
It's after midnight. You'll wake Aunt Abby.
But you put it off last night and the night before and the night before that.
Jane, somehow when I'm with you, I can't concentrate on money.
And when I'm with you, I can't concentrate on anything else.
Even though we're clearing out of here tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Maybe I'm wrong, Jane, but... well, from the look in your eyes here in the moonlight, I have the feeling that... You're unhappy because we're leaving.
Well, you're wrong. The moonlight's tricky and...
Jane, ever since you opened the door that night, I've been trying to tell you...
Now, please, do you want to wake up?
Jane, there's something I've been trying so hard to say.
Well, then, why don't you?
Because a man can't make love to a girl who's always talking about the damages paid in the case of Van Orkney versus Sullivan...
All right, now, a lawsuit is the farthest thing from my mind.
That's very, very touching.
Why,
does Miss Rivers know that you and I are to be married next week?
Married?
Oh. Yes, it's been in all the newspapers.
But I had no idea.
You didn't read what Dix told the reporters only yesterday, that we're going to Mexico on our honeymoon as soon as this picture is finished.
That was just publicity. It meant nothing.
And I suppose you kissed me to keep Worldwide from being sued?
Oh, Jane,
Well, I'm not going to sue Worldwide for $50,000. Instead, it's going to be $100,000 plus cost.
Before we
bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Hattie Elders and Nanette Sargent. Here is Myron Wallace.
This is February 28th, ordinarily the last day of the short month. But 1948 is a leap year, different from other years because tomorrow will be February 29th. But although the day is different, most of us will spend it in the usual way, enjoying our usual little treats. Treats like the delightful taste of a Snickers candy bar. Every bite of a Snickers bar is always a pleasure, for it is rich with the rare flavor of the thick milk chocolate coating. The golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, packed with crisp, whole roasted peanuts. And the soft nougat center, richly flavored with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. All melt together to make each enjoyable bite of a Snickers bar a real taste thrill, right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers. There's the call for the third act of Sweden, Brighton, and Romance, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. Jane Rivers let Worldwide Films use her house in making a movie, but has received no money. And when she heard that Dixon Crane, the director, is engaged to Margot Merritt, Jane concluded that he made love to her only to save Worldwide from a lawsuit. Well, it's now the next morning. Margot appears with two suitcases, a fact which surprises Dixon Crane.
There.
Margot, what's the big idea? We're not leaving for 2 hours.
In 2 hours, I'll be on a plane for the West Coast.
Oh, but we've still got a week of shooting to do in our Long Island studio.
I'm quitting, Dix.
Margot, what are you
saying? Oh, sure. Worldwide would fold up without me, wouldn't it?
But you can't do this to B.J., not in the shape he's in.
You're not worrying about B.J.
Oh, but
you're worrying about that simple-minded little school teacher who may lose her house because of you. If I walk out, Worldwide won't even be able to pay the telephone bill.
Oh, no, Margot,
and if you
darling.
Think you can make me look ridiculous when everyone knows we're engaged...
But that was just for publicity. You're supposed to be in love with Roy Ridgely.
That ham on horseback?
But he's such a beautiful hunk of ham.
Goodbye.
Wait, Margot.
Now what?
Oh, gee, darling. All this time I never dreamed you really cared.
You sound like something on a jukebox.
But honest, you've never really been out of my mind.
If you think you can keep me here to finish that picture and keep Worldwide from folding...
I'm only trying to tell you that I love you. That when I'm with you, nothing else matters.
You really mean that, Dick?
How can you believe anything else?
And you were really just trying to stop that silly little school teacher from suing Worldwide?
Of course.
Dick, let's get married today.
You know, for a moment I thought you said, let's get married today.
Right now, Dick.
Hey, wait a minute.
I know a darling little place just over in Virginia. We can drive there and be married by a justice of the peace before dinner.
Before dinner? Gosh, I wouldn't be able to eat a thing.
Dick, do you want to marry me or don't you?
Oh, sure, I want to marry you. More than anything in the world.
Found it. Why doesn't somebody open it?
Yes?
I'm looking for Dixon Crane. I want to smash his head in.
But who are you?
See here, I'm a busy man. Tell Crane I'm here.
But he isn't here at all.
I'm B.J. Osterman.
Oh, so you're B.J. Osterman.
Yes.
Well, come in.
Thank you. Well, where is he?
I don't know. He's disappeared.
Disappeared? Oh, no. Have you checked with the police?
Of course not.
Then we'll check every police station, hospital, and morgue in the east. I've got to find him right away.
And so, by the virtue of the authority vested in me by the state of Virginia...
One moment, please.
B.J.
And Jane.
Please pardon the interruption, but I have to speak to one of the
See here, sir.
Dick, why didn't you answer my wire?
Oh, B.J., can't that wait until Mr. McSaggart finishes?
Don't interrupt, Margot. I have an important conference in New York in an hour and a half.
You did this? I did not.
This is an outrage, sir.
I'll say it is, making a busy man who just finished having a nervous breakdown go to all this trouble to get a simple answer.
What answer?
Dick, you sent me the greatest story of the Civil War I ever read.
I sent you...
It'll make a sensational picture. It'll make Gone with the Wind look like Mickey Mouse. And all I want to know is... Who wrote it?
But I didn't send you anything.
So, you're double-crossing me. You're selling out to another company.
But it's something you imagined. I never...
How can I imagine 972 pages that I've got right here in my briefcase?
Dick, we were getting married, remember?
Just a minute, Margot.
If you don't throw BJ out of here, we're through.
There, see? 972 pages. And you sent it to me.
I never saw that bale of paper before in my whole life.
That's not true.
Say, now, do you know something about this?
I ought to. It's mine.
Yours? You wrote this?
Oh, good heavens. Yes, and it disappeared a week ago. I thought my aunt took it. She's absent-minded and forgets where she put things.
You? A mere slip of a girl like you writing a book like this about the Civil War? And such language, too.
It's based on the Civil War diary of my great-great-grandfather. Now, honestly, is this a literary tale?
Allow me to congratulate you, Miss Rivers. I want to buy your book.
But I don't want to sell it.
Oh, come now, come. How much do you want?
I won't sell it to the movies. Not for all the money in the world.
Well, I don't have all the money in the world, but for this picture, I can get all the financial backing I need.
BJ, you mean this story will put worldwide back on its feet?
Of course it will.
My book is not for sale to the movies.
But, Miss Rivers, your great-great-grandfather is a figure that should be set before the American people. He was a great soldier who was also a man. A human man.
Please, Mr. Osterman, I've had enough of motion picture people with their cheap glamour and lying and trickery.
Meaning me?
Yes, meaning you. The idea of even sneaking into my room and stealing my manuscript.
But I didn't. I don't even know who sent it to BJ. But whoever did has my undying gratitude.
Uh-oh, I thought so.
What do you think?
He was marrying me so that Worldwide wouldn't go broke. He was doing it for her.
Her?
Now, see here.
Look, Margot, you don't really want to marry me either. You just wanted me because you thought you couldn't have me.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, and you ought to throw your arms in gratitude around whoever sent BJ that book.
Well, I sent it. You said Dick told me to. It was that afternoon I was going into town. You asked me to get a big envelope from your room and mail it to BJ.
But, Margot...
You said you hoped the size of it wouldn't give him another nervous breakdown.
The size of it is 970.
I meant the telephone bill.
The telephone bill?
Margot, you went into the wrong room.
Oh, dear, I'll say I did.
As you are about to embark on the uncharted sea of matrimony, and as I look upon your silent faces, lighted from within...
Mr. McSpaggot, why did you stop?
Yes. Is anything wrong?
No, I just thought...
What?
Well, I thought that maybe I should omit everything but the legal portion of the ceremony. After all, Mr. Crane has already heard all this once tonight.
Oh, no. We want to hear every word of it.
I'll say we do. And, Mr. McSpaggot, I hope you won't take this personally, but I wasn't listening the first time.
Curtain Falls on the Loud Side for another Curtain Time Play, brought to you by the Maker's Arms, Snickers. Tonight, Curtain Time starred Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent. The supporting players were Geraldine Kay, Hope Summers, Maurice Copeland, and George Caesar. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Farber, and the entire production is directed by Harry Hoko. Now, here are the stars of Curtain Time with a word about next week's play.
And next Saturday, Harry and I make a lot of fuss over some very well-bred pig.
Yes, and I think that's all we should tell him, Nanette.
Except the name of the play, of course.
Oh, of course, Matt. It's called Connecticut Farmer.
And I'll be on hand to hear it. Thanks and good night, Nanette Sargent and Harry Elder.
Good night, Matt.
Good night.
Now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise marts, many on their way to the glamorous after theater spots here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of Snickers present
Curtain Time!
Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Metal Banker. And next Saturday, be with us once again for Curtain Time. Remember, when you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.